to the Busy Fit Podcast, episode 23. If you missed episode 22, we went over body composition and how to test it and also how to measure and see trends. Today, we'll be having a conversation with our director of online programming, Aaron Duvall. We're just going to do a back and forth Q&A about really just underrated or overrated on certain subjects and have a discussion on these subjects. So we'll dive into it.
Yeah, I'm excited for this because I think we're going off the cuff here. We don't know what each other's going to ask. So this is the farthest thing from scripted we can get. So we'll see where our heads are at.
Yeah, and Aaron, it's been, how long's it been since you were on the podcast? It has to have been at least a month.
Yeah, it's been a minute. So I was cool.
I'll kick us off. Cold showers for recovery.
Oh man, that's a tough one. It sucks because like the whole premise of this is like we have to answer like polarized, like on one end of the spectrum or the other, where something like this already is like, I don't know if it should be underrated or overrated. It's just like rated. But I guess, okay, so I'll say underrated for cold showers, because I'll put it in the category of like thermal regulation for recovery. So like, you know, any sort of like hot, cold type contrast, and again, just like thermal manipulation for the body, I think does pose a lot of health benefits. Is it something that like is like gonna cure everything and make you feel like a different person when you're working out? No, probably not. But in the grand scheme of things, I'll say underrated, because I think for a lot of people that do train hard, maybe it's something that's just underutilized. So I'm sticking to that. I'm going to go underrated for cold showers.
That's interesting, because I think there's two polarizing sides here from the strength training perspective, where it's like people think that, you know, cold plunge or cold showers are going to inhibit strength gains if you do it right after your exercise, and should it be separated? Or is it just something that's like beneficial to do every single day?
Yeah, I think it, just like anything, it depends. But I think if it is something like, again, going back to thermal regulation in general, like if you do something like that, or if you take cold showers like every day, your body adapts to stress and it adapts to recovery. So I think, you know, overkill every day probably, but like in certain, you know, times of training, like you got like big race coming up or something like that, you know, to overdo it for a short period of time may not be a bad idea. But I like that one. Since you gave me a tough one to kind of kick us off, I'm going to give you a tough one. So we came out with an article or a guide about this recently, and in that guide, it kind of played both ends of the spectrum, how it's overrated and underrated. So my subject for you is zone two cardio.
Oh, this is a really tough one. Zone two is an interesting thing, because I think people think it's either like it's good or it's bad. It's good for this thing and it's bad for this thing. People think like it's the answer to like weight loss, or answer to like, you know, getting a really big goal, like training for a marathon or whatever it is. And this is a thing I think we talk about all the time, right? Where it's like there's all these variables that you can manipulate in exercise, and the intensity is just another one of those variables. And so for a certain population, like, yeah, zone two can be great. And does it have a lot of benefit? Absolutely. But is that perfect for everyone? Maybe not. Like for a high stressed individual, it's like, yeah, maybe we need to stay away from high intensity exercise. But if we're thinking about like someone who can handle, you know, being able to have some intensity in their day, like they don't need to train just zone two. I feel like we do have a lot of people though that like from the weight loss side have had really good benefits having like three or four strength training days, one or two zone two days, but that's like a very specific population. Now, I know when I was coaching swimming, for example, we did a ton of zone two with everyone. But that's because they have to be able to handle a really high intensity level of training, regardless of where they're at during the year. And we're training for meets during the summer, spring, fall. Like, it doesn't matter. They have to be ready to handle anything. So like, you can't train hard all the time. I mean, that same rule applies to general population too, right? Where it's like, you can train hard sometimes, But if you train hard constantly of other stressors, you're not going to be able to maintain that for long term. So I guess if I had to say overall, I would say it's underrated just because you see some people doing like group fitness classes where they're training at a really high intensity every single day. And then they look back 2 or 3 months and they're like, why didn't I lose weight? Why didn't I get stronger? Like all these things. Like it's, if you're training intense every single day, you're never going to allow yourself to have a chance to recover and build from what you're doing.
With you on that. Part of me wants to say that it's overrated just because of like the sheer amount of like blind hype that it gets from some people online. But at the same time, like underrated it is my, I guess, end of the day answer, just because like it does pose a lot of benefits. It's like, you know, for anyone, kind of regardless of what your training goals are, like having that aerobic foundation and that, you know, solid training base of like your respective training pyramid is really important. So it's underrated, but yeah, some people that just live and die by it and will fall on the sword for zone two makes me want to say overrated, but you know, the same thing though. So I'll give it to them.
And that's a great sign too, right? Like if you're looking at a training program, coach specifically, and they're like, oh, I really believe in this specific type. It's like, if we were to take all of the variables that we have for training, and like realistically, none of them are overrated or underrated. They're all just level playing, and you're manipulating the ones that you have to manipulate to get the best result possible. And that's going to look very different for one person versus another. You know?
For sure, for sure. All right, well, back to you.
So this is a, I think this is an interesting one because it's something that you've seen on the athletic world for a really long time. I think probably 4 or 5 years ago, you saw it get a lot bigger on, you know, just the general population because the machines became available. But electric muscle stimulation, like that's something that was purely athletic. Now you have to see with like complex units and all of that. Like, what's your take there?
That's another good one. I want to split it up into two categories. I want to say it's underrated for the right user, and the right user being someone like returning from some sort of injury or maybe like post-surgery or something. I think like certain modalities of STEM are great. So like if someone like as a labral or UCL tear or something, or they tear the ACL, like they're locked in these positions in a brace or a cast or something for periods of time, they lose that neural connection or part of that neural connection from their brain to that area of the body. And I think it's very underrated from facilitating that like neuromuscular type connection, for lack of better words, back in like an early stage rehab standpoint. But from just an overall, like, you know, just an athlete or someone training that just wants to feel better, do something, I'm going to say that it's overrated. I think it's good and it feels good. It's one of those, like, maybe a little bit more band-aid than anything. Again, I think that there's a lot of merit in the early stages of rehab or return to play scenario, but, yeah. Overrated for the general population.
I just thought of a really good one for you after you asked me.
Go ahead. I'm on a roll here.
All right. Chiropractors.
You put me on the spot here. They're overrated. For, again, when we're talking, like, I have to be polarized one way or another. I'm not saying that there's not a time and place at some point for a lot of people. But the chiropractors as like their practice, like from what I've seen, and I'm uneducated on it, I've only been to a couple, like, again, kind of going back to the idea of like putting more band-aids on things and fixing the root problem. Like if I had the choice of, or the ability to go to a physical therapist versus a chiropractor, I'd take a physical therapist 100 times. but you know that may ruffle a lot of feathers for some people that may live and die on the hill of going to their chiropractor if they are a chiropractor. Again, I'm not saying that there's not a use and that they can't be helpful, but as a general practice, I would say that for how much people do tend to like down on that hill of like, oh, I have to go see my chiropractor, do this, and like see them once a week, I'd say it's definitely overrated. That was a good one. You put me on the spot there.
I'm glad to.
One for you. We'll go a piece of equipment, lifting shoes, particularly like elevated heel, like a Metcon hybrid shoe, like a squat shoe or Olympic lifting shoe.
That's a good one as well, because I think anytime you get into like specific pieces of equipment, then there's a population that they're going to be great for and a population they're maybe not as great for. And so I think if you're, I'm going to go ahead and say, I think weightlifting shoes are overrated only from the perspective of, you know, I think there's like merit to actually having the mobility to go through that range with like a flat foot. And making sure you have that mobility first. Now, if you're actually thinking about your training as an athlete and you want to get under load more and like be in the proper position without having to put place below your heels, like, sure, that's all great. Like, I get that side of it. But if you're thinking about like the, you know, 30, 40-year-old weekend warrior who's going to lift one day a week for a squat, and they're going to do just like a couple of total body days, and they may get 20, 30, 40 minutes of working out. It's like, let's just make sure we're mobile in every plane first, and then like go into adding in specifics for training and kind of those more specific items, just because what's the point? Right? Like, that's not actually going to simulate something you're actually going to see for an activity of daily living where you're going to use that all the time. It's like, let's make sure we have that ankle mobility. Let's make sure we have that like thoracic spine mobility to be able to go through the proper motion without any assistance. And then if we want to train to get more under load or something like that, or you're a high-level athlete, then like, sure, let's have a lifting shoe.
That's a fair point. I'll agree with you. Even as someone who don't know the last time I did a workout or a lift without lifting shoes, yeah, I think you made some great points. Generally, maybe something that's overrated. One of my favorite quotes is, you know, you don't want to have $200 shoes with 10-cent squat. And yeah, I think kind of to your point, like focus on that kind of stuff first, like the actual movement itself and the training before, you know, getting too focused on like the accessories that can aid in that. I'm going to ask another one just because you asked me to, kind of on the same line of like accessories or supplementing your workout. Next one I got for you is pre-workout, and I'll say, maybe I'll just stick to just caffeine. I won't bubble all of pre-workouts together, but caffeine as a pre-workout.
Caffeine as a pre-workout is probably overrated. And I actually just went through this myself, and so it was an interesting kind of experiment because I caffeinated pre-workout for 15 years. Wow. Consistently, it was like, I went, you know, started off as like pre-workout, and then it went into like, you know, nitric oxide, like going in like full into the pre-workout stuff. Then went back to caffeine or just coffee. And 8 weeks ago, we stopped caffeine altogether. I thought my workout's going to like tank, and they did for a week. But then I started making sure I was actually just like getting the proper nutrients and fuel timing before my workout. So, you know, making sure if I'm eating an hour and a half before the workout, I'm getting like all three protein fats in, you know, as I get closer, I drop off some of the fats first, and then I drop off and have like more simple carbohydrates as I get closer to it. And then, you know, making sure I'm properly hydrated. And I think you get probably more of a benefit from that, because like we all do tend to forget that energy's like coffee and caffeine is fake energy, right? It's just blocking you from feeling tired versus actually like creating energy. And energy comes from food sources. And so it's like, fuel properly, you'll feel better. Not like in an acute sense where it's like, hey, I need an extra little bump to get through this workout today because of these circumstances that made things really hard. Like, sure, it's a really good fit. But there's so many other things we can do, like proper fuel timing, hydration, even stuff like Beat Elite. you know, which is a vasodilator, like that stuff's amazing and not going to have the same effect on your body that caffeine will. So I think if in general, if we go more towards that side of things, just for like the everyday person, it's great. But also from a performance perspective, we're talking about like, hey, I know of a really heavy squat day coming up this week, and I want to make sure I make it through for like, you know, that fourth or fifth set. Then it's like, sure, we can push out fatigue a little bit with caffeine. And so I think from an acute perspective, it can be great.
Yeah, I respect and appreciate that answer. I don't really know which side of the coin I'm on with it, because there's like, there is, you know, noted in research, like performance benefits to use, but to your point, like using it as essentially almost a crutch, and I'm right there with you. For however long I've been working, there's probably only been a handful of sessions where I haven't had some sort of stimulant too, which I know isn't great, but like, can it help? Yeah. Is it something that you need? There's other ways to go about it. One of my favorite quotes from a mentor of mine was, you know, pre-workout is just, it's borrowing energy from the future. And the way that to pay it back is through adrenal fatigue. So that's what, you know, we get, you know, depending on the amount and whether, you know, stuff maybe in a certain pre-workout, like that, the crash that we feel afterwards and everything else, like we're just borrowing that energy from the end of our day and putting it into something, you know, again, a little bit more acute or right in front of us, like a training session. But is it useful? Sure. But yeah, I'm with you. I'll agree that it's probably an overrated substance.
And not to say that you have to like cut it all together. And again, like you said, from the performance perspective, like we're talking about like lactate threshold or feeling a little bit better in those like last few reps of a set, but there is definitely a benefit there. But is it something that you should take like every day before you're dependent on it? Probably not. So, all right. Interesting one for you, because I think you have a good take on this and kind of rolling into the, you know, ingesting things for workouts perspective, CBD products for recovery.
To be honest, I just don't know. I'm going to say overrated just based on the fact that I personally haven't seen or read a ton of research on its actual efficacy yet. I know, just like a lot of things and any sort of like trend or whatever, like a lot of people want to swear by it and say that it really helps them. You know, I haven't read literature yet that really advocates for its use. Not to say that it's not useful, but it, you know, Brian, you know, it could just be one of those crazy right now. People are like, oh, I'm doing this and it helps me feel better, helps with recovery, like, you know, whatever else. And, you know, I think that if anything, like, you know, the biggest recovery modality that the human body can get, one of three things is sleep, hydration, and food. And sleep probably being the king of all those. And I think if there's, even if it's a more subjective value to like something like CBD helping you sleep, then, you know, there may be merit there. But it kind of goes back to like the caffeine and other things, though. It's like if that's what you feel like you need to like get a better sleep or more restful sleep, there's probably another issue or something that, you know, probably need to figure out first rather than just running to this like supplement or new trend to try to assist you with that. But yeah, at the end of the day, I'd say overrated, but with an asterisk, just because, again, I don't personally know too much or haven't read the literature one way or the other really saying that it is good or bad, other than, you know, people.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the same with anything that comes out and like you see now. It's like, it's way too early to tell, one, if it's actually going to be beneficial, and then two, is it even going to be something that's going to be good for your long-term health when there's no actual studies, like there's nothing actually like able to cover that amount of time and say, hey, this was a good thing. Like, forget that there was a point when people didn't think smoking was bad for you. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of these things that are coming out daily now, where they're going to look back 10, 15 years from now and be like, wow, that was so stupid that we had everyone take this because of these long-term health effects of it. So,
yeah. And who knows? I mean, maybe there won't be anything. I have no idea. I'll let the scientists in the lab figure it out, and other people do that and figure it out for me before I give my yay or nay for it. But I'll give you one more here. It's kind of similar to the last one with caffeine. Creatine.
I want to say overrated, but I'm going to say underrated just from the perspective of, I think it's overrated from the perspective of people think that like this is going to be a life-changing supplement for them. And it's going to like suddenly you're going to do these amazing things and see these amazing benefits. And that can be true, but like, you have to take care of the base stuff first. Like you said, like sleep, hydration, food, making sure that you're getting the proper exercise and proper stress management and lifestyle habits and all that stuff first, then any supplement's going to be beneficial. And that's where I'm going to say overall, underrated, just because there's so much research backing up the fact that there aren't necessarily like long-term health issues attached to it. You definitely are going to get some strength gains from it. It's going to allow you to recover better. You know, there's a lot of really great benefits from it. It's just gets a from a population that is looking for that like magic pill cure, the one thing that's going to like make everything better for them. It's never one thing. Like it's usually a combination of things. And so it's overrated for the population that's looking for that one thing, but it's underrated for the population that's doing a ton of things right and is looking to kind of enhance to that next level.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I would also agree, like, it's underrated overall, you know, picking that, you know, polar end of the underrated. But, you know, just because there are, like, you know, if you're talking about, like, being research-backed, like, there's a lot. It is probably, you know, with caffeine, maybe arguably the most researched, you know, supplement that is out there, and it is safe. It is effective. It's not like a steroid or something. It's not going to just like, you know, make you into this superhuman, but it has a lot of good effects. Definitely works and is safe. So yeah, I'm going to say underrated as well.
Thanks for joining me today. Stay tuned for part two of the underrated overrated series.
Looking forward to it.
I think we truly appreciate your support in helping us grow our podcast. So if you can leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, it only takes 5 seconds. It makes a world of a difference for us. Your feedback not only encourages us to keep producing great content, but also helps others discover our show. And if you've got a friend, family member, or colleague who you feel likely would benefit from listening to our podcast, please consider sharing it with them. Word of mouth is incredibly powerful, and your recommendation means the world for us. Let's get into it.